All right. Well, good morning, everybody. As was said, my name is John. I get to serve as the youth and worship pastor here at the church, and it is a joy and a privilege to get to open up God's Word with you today. We are continuing our 2026 vision series, Victorious, and today we get to learn all about victorious baptism, specifically water baptism. What is water baptism? Why do we do it? All of those questions and more, but before we go anywhere else, let's pause, let's stop, and let's ask the Lord for His blessing on our time together. Holy Spirit, we thank You for Your goodness, and we thank You for Your Word. And we thank You also, God, for baptism. So, Lord, as we talk about this very precious, very exciting topic today, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would do the work that my own words cannot do. I pray, God, that You would speak, that You would move. God, I don't know the people in this room, but You do. You know their hearts. You know their needs. And I pray, Holy Spirit, again, that You would do the work that only You know how to do. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last year, the youth group and I started going through the Gospel of Matthew, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And Pastor Gary had the wise suggestion, you know, John, when you get to Matthew 3, where Jesus is baptized, make sure you take a minute to talk about baptism and just explain it to the students. So we got to that chapter, and I started writing a small section on baptism. And then that small section became a little bigger and a little bigger. And before long, I began to realize, man, I'm going to need like a whole separate youth night or a whole something else to cover all of this. Well, then fast forward to the end of February a few weeks ago, and I told Pastor Gary, you know, that youth group study for Matthew 3, it kind of mushroomed off into its own baptism class. And I've never taught one of those before, but I kind of like to. Would it be okay if we schedule one after Sunday and just see who comes? And then Pastor Gary said, well, why not try it as a Sunday morning message in March? And then scheduled baptisms for Easter in April. So one thing led to another, and God willing, we should be having water baptisms this Easter. And for today, we're going to be learning about victorious baptism. And by the way, for anybody who's wondering about getting baptized, or parents, if you've got kids in kids' church who are asking about getting baptized, I highly recommend that you grab this handout from the table in the back of the sanctuary. This is Baptism 101. It covers a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. And I would encourage you, if you want to get baptized or if you feel that maybe you need to get re-baptized, because sometimes that happens, I would encourage you, take one of these home with you, pray through it, go over it with your kids or go over it with yourself. And for anybody who wants to join us in the water on April 5th, you can sign up through the QR code on the back, and you can also talk to Pastor Gary or myself after the service. And so just be praying about that as we come up on Easter. Now to start, I want to address the tension of why a baptism class on a Sunday morning? Because let's be realistic. Most of you might be going here and thinking, look, John, we've already been baptized. We took the class, got wet, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Why revisit something that we already took care of so many years ago? And to answer that tension, I want to give three quick reasons why it's important for all Christians to revisit baptism. And the first one is just that baptism is an ordinance of the church. An ordinance is a big church word that means a public normative mandate that Jesus Christ expects the church to participate in. Now, the Bible says that Jesus has given the church two ordinances. There's communion, or the Lord's Supper, that we had together last week. And then there's water baptism. And an ordinance is different from a command. A command is all about obeying Jesus on a private, individual level. And Jesus gave a whole bunch of those. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor, pray like this, don't pray like that. And all of those commands are things that we can take care of by ourselves. But an ordinance, this is different. This is about obeying Jesus not on a private individual level, but a public community level. So say if you want to have communion and you feel like having a midnight snack in your kitchen and so you think you can have communion then, Communion needs to happen in the intentional gathering of multiple believers. And same thing with baptism. If it's a Monday morning and you think, well, I can just run some water in the tub and baptize myself here. Baptism needs to happen in an intentional gathering of multiple believers. And we get the ordinance of baptism from Jesus' words in Matthew 28. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. And it says, He came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So according to Jesus, when it comes to baptism, this is not up for debate. This is not a matter of opinion or preference like music styles or ministry methods or other areas where we can have some give and take. Baptism is an ordinance, and it should be normative. And that leads us to the second reason to revisit baptism. Baptism compels us to focus on mission. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus addresses a local church in the city of Ephesus. And he tells them, I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance, but I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. In other words, hey, you're not a bad church. You've got some great things going on. There's a whole lot to like, but you've lost your first love. You've forgotten the very thing that brought you together and fired you up in the first place. And church, that first love is a lot easier to lose than we realize. See, if we're not careful as a church, we can get so caught up in what you might call maintenance mode. We can get so easily lulled in by just the week-to-week, Sunday-to-Sunday groove that we get all caught up in our politics, our preferences, our pet projects, our potlucks. We get so caught up in all of that that the baptism tank starts to go dry. And the gospel of Jesus gets downgraded to old nostalgia instead of urgent priority. When we revisit baptism, baptism keeps us locked in on our first love. It compels us to love the one who saved us and to focus on his mission. So baptism is an ordinance. It compels us to focus on mission. And third, baptism symbolizes our victory in Jesus. When the United States defeated Canada in men and women's hockey at the Olympics, everybody was talking about that gold medal. And as a Canadian, I was in deep mourning. It hurt my soul. And I want you to think, why did the gold medal generate all that excitement? Well, it's because the gold medal symbolizes victory, and every human is personally touched by victory. Think about it. When you experience a victory, whether that's a financial breakthrough, an answer to prayer, new house, new car, new job, new baby, that victory affects your whole life. You can't help but talk about it and fixate on it because of how significant that victory is. Now, for Christians, baptism is like a gold medal that symbolizes the victory that Jesus has earned for us. Now, we did not earn that victory, but Jesus earned it for us. And he invites us to celebrate and participate in that victory. So for those of you who have been baptized, as we have this little baptism class together, hey, get excited. Get excited. Don't relegate baptism to something that happened long, long ago in a galaxy far away. No, allow baptism to remind you of the victory that you have right now in Jesus. And not only your victory, but hey, let baptism fire you up about the victory that God wants to give to somebody else. Think about the victory that God wants to give to that prodigal child, that lost family member, that atheist coworker. Wouldn't it be awesome to have them in the water with us on Easter? Amen. See, the victory that Jesus gave to you, he still wants to give to others. And when we talk about baptism, we get to rejoice in that victory. We keep that victory at the forefront of our hearts and minds. Amen. And so now that I've addressed those of you who have been baptized, I want to devote the rest of this message to those of you who maybe have not been baptized yet. Because let's be real, if you didn't grow up in church, or if you've never had the opportunity to really learn about baptism, like, baptism can be kind of weird. Can we say that? I mean, you think about it, you have to speak publicly, which is already intimidating for some people. And then in front of God and everybody, you got to get in your swim shorts, get in your swim shirt, and get in the tank. Then you have to get wet, and then you have to go underwater. And it's like, yo, that's kind of weird. What's this baptism thing all about anyway? And so before anybody gets weirded out by baptism, I want to give you three honest facts. Everybody say three.
Three.
Three honest facts to better explain baptism and make it unweird. Any of you seniors remember Dragnet? Just the facts? Here are just the facts about baptism. Number one, baptism is not a personal ritual that saves you, but baptism is a public visual of already being saved. Amen. Now, some churches teach that you can't get to heaven, you can't be saved without being water baptized. And they teach that baptism is kind of this mystical, magical ceremony that makes you saved. But the truth is, you and I cannot get to heaven just by being good enough. But instead, we need to believe that Jesus' goodness is good enough, and trusting in his goodness, his enoughness, is what saves us. Amen. Imagine with me that you are a swimmer drowning in a stormy sea, and the Coast Guard comes with their big boat or their helicopter, and they throw out a rope and life ring to you. Now, you're not going to escape drowning just by saying, I don't need that, I've been baptized, I'm a good person, I've been enough. No, no, no. The only way for you to get saved is to let go of your ego, trust the Coast Guard, and hold on tight to that rope and that life ring. It's the same thing with trusting in Jesus to save us. When Jesus was dying on the cross, there were two criminals being crucified on other crosses alongside him. And we get this in, I think, three of the four Gospels. Matthew records that both criminals started out trashing Jesus. But then Luke mentions in his account that one of those criminals had a last-minute change of heart. And he said, hey, Jesus, I've been a really sinful person. I've lived a horrible life. I haven't done anything good to get me to heaven. And Jesus, you're perfect. I'm not. You don't deserve to be here. I do. So please, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I've got nothing. You're my only hope. Jesus, please save me. Now, at that point, it's obviously way too late to get baptized. But even in that moment, Jesus looks at this dying criminal. He puts his fears at ease and says, I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise. You're good, you're covered, you are saved. Baptism is not a personal ritual that saves you, but it is a public visual of already being saved and trusting in Jesus. And here's why this is important. Here's why the public visual part is so important. The Bible says that all of us are born with something called a sinful self, or a sinful nature. Or as a millennial, I like to think of this as sin software. If you have a computer or a smartphone, that device runs off of a software or an operating system, whether that's Windows, Mac, Android, iOS. And the Bible says that because of the sin of Adam and Eve, the first people, all of us are born with a sin software, a sin OS that separates us from God. But when we trust in Jesus and surrender our lives to him, Jesus gives us brand new software. That old sinful self, the old sin OS gets deleted, and the brand new Jesus OS gets installed. The new life that Jesus invites us to live in. Let's read about that uninstall, install in Romans. Romans 6, verse 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now because of that power, we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves, that old software, was crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. So with water baptism, baptism is just declaring on the outside what Jesus has already done on the inside. Everything that Paul talked about in that Romans passage, that doesn't happen with baptism. That happens before baptism. That happens when you pray and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you repent of your sins, when you put that trust in the life ring of his goodness, of his blood. And this is why we baptize people in the specific way that you do. Have you ever wondered why it is that whenever we have a baptism here, we always kind of lay the person under the water? You know, we don't just aggressively dunk them from behind or pick them up and toss them into the tank. No, we lay them down on purpose because that laying down motion symbolizes burial. It's the public visual of what Jesus did for you. Your old self getting buried and your new self getting raised to life in Christ. So baptism, it's not a personal ritual that saves you. There's nothing magical about it. But it is a public visual of already being saved. So it's not a ritual, but it is a visual. Let's look at our second honest fact about baptism. Baptism is not a promise to be perfect, but it is a promise to look to the perfect Savior. I remember when I got baptized at age 11, and for the next several days and weeks, I remember kind of walking around my house thinking that I would be perfect for the rest of my life. Had kind of this halo glowing over my head. I am baptized. I am perfect. But then the day came where I sinned. I chose to do something wrong that I knew was wrong, did it anyway, and Satan started to play head games with me after that. Oh, John, look what you did. You told everybody in that church that you were baptized, that you were going to follow Jesus. Look what you've done now. You're not supposed to do that. You're a loser. You're a failure. Well, the Bible talks about that experience. See, the old sinful self that Romans 6 talks about, that old software that got crucified with Jesus and buried with him, Romans 7 makes it clear that that old sin software, that old sinful nature is always trying to come back. I heard somebody say one time that our old sinful nature is like a zombie, always trying to make itself alive again and come back to life again and regain control. And until we get to heaven, where there is no sin and where there is no brokenness, you and I will always have to be on guard against that old zombie nature. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how long you've been in church, all of us will sin, baptized or not. And when we sin, there are two possible responses that we can have. One response is to feel sorry for ourselves, beat ourselves up, leave Jesus out of the picture. But the better response is to look to Jesus, take ownership of our sin, humble ourselves, repent, and trust that no matter what we're feeling, God's grace and his forgiveness are bigger and greater and stronger than whatever shame or regret the enemy might be trying to mess us up with. And that moment of looking to Jesus is what will give us power to move forward. So let's recap right quick. Baptism is not a personal ritual, but a public visual. And it's not a promise to be perfect, but it is a promise to look to the perfect Savior. And now number three, baptism is not a guilt trip, but baptism is an important next step. In my wallet, I have a real ID driver's license from the state of North Carolina. Obviously not this one. Now, this driver's license card is a big deal. I'm not allowed to drive without it. I need this for insurance, for traveling, for financial stuff, medical stuff. So this is not like one of those junk mail credit cards that I can just chop up and forget about. No, the weight behind this card, it is very serious. But even though my driver's license is a big deal, imagine if the seriousness of this license caused me to feel ashamed and guilty and paranoid every time I got behind the wheel. You know, you get on 64 and it's like, oh, I hope I don't get pulled over today. And oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I see Adam Hill right there in his Charger. He's ready to pull me over. You know, everybody's doing 65. Maybe I should just do 55 and that'll make everything better. Or imagine if I was still a teenager and I thought, man, you know, the driver's ed and the test and the DMV, it's too scary. It's too complicated. I think I'm just going to walk and Uber everywhere for the rest of my life. Can you imagine? Because as serious as this license is, the motivation behind this license is not about fear. It's about freedom. When I got my license at 17, I can remember thinking, wow, I've got my license. Now I've got freedom to drive wherever I need to. I can learn where all the roads are. I can build up my driving skills. I can become a better driver day by day. And whether my car works or not, whether I'm feeling happy or sad, the circumstances around me and the feelings within me have no power to take that license away, so long as I don't give them that power. Now, some of those hangups that I mentioned with the driver's license, where, oh, it's too scary, it's too big, sometimes people can have those same hangups about being baptized. Oh, I'm not perfect enough. I don't understand enough about God. I don't always feel close to God. Newsflash, neither do I. I'm far from perfect. I struggle with my sinful self every day. I forget to turn my phone onto silent. Let me take care of that right now. I don't always understand God or what he's like or what he's up to. I don't always feel close to God like what I might feel at youth camp or youth conference. And listen, if I waited for my feelings to align with my walk with God, if I waited until I felt good enough or felt spiritual enough to follow Jesus, I would never follow him again. But none of those circumstances and none of those feelings can ever take away the reality that when I was 6 years old, I chose to trust in Jesus Christ and receive him as my Lord and Savior. So that no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm going through, as long as I keep looking to Jesus and keep my heart tender towards him, I know that I know that I know that one decision at 6 years old was enough for Jesus Christ to save me. And that was why at 11 years old, I chose to take that big next step and declare my faith in Jesus publicly through getting baptized. That was a declaration that, hey, Jesus has saved me, I belong to him, and even though I'm not going to be perfect in my relationship with Jesus, I want to keep learning, I want to keep growing, I want to keep growing, moving forward and discovering more and more about who Jesus is and discovering more about what he has for me to do. And that's not just my own experience either. That is a principle from the Bible. Now, I know he said, and I want to be very clear, baptism is not some kind of magical ritual when it comes to salvation. But when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, the Bible does make it clear that something gets unlocked when you choose to obey Jesus in baptism. And we see that all over the second half of the Bible, all over the New Testament, the invitation to follow Jesus and the instruction to get baptized are almost always connected. Again, Jesus said in Matthew, go and make disciples and baptize them. Get them to follow and get them baptized. And then all over the book of Acts, when people made a decision to follow Jesus, the very next step was getting baptized with water. And so we see that Paul got baptized right away in Acts 9. A guy named Cornelius got baptized right away in Acts 10. And then even in Acts 2, we read an account where 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day. And in sharing those examples, the Bible makes it clear that when you get baptized, when you obey Jesus and take that next step with him, something does get unlocked. And it's kind of like your spiritual driver's license. Now, you don't need your license to be saved and go to heaven, but having that license unlocks a lot of opportunities for you while you're here. Now, you don't need to be baptized to get saved, but baptism is a big next step for new growth, new depth, and new discovery in your relationship with Jesus. So far, we've talked about why to revisit baptism. We've looked at what baptism is and is not. And now there's one more very important question to take care of, and that's just, am I ready for baptism? I think that's a very important question. You don't want to be scared of that question, but you don't want to handle it recklessly. And so let's answer that with four heart checks, four tests or qualifiers to help figure out if you're ready. And I would say the first heart check is this. Do not get baptized out of fear, guilt, or external pressure, but do get baptized out of your own choice, your own passion, and your own internal desire to obey Jesus. And I want to be so careful in handling this, because as much as baptism is a command, and I want to give this caution to those of us here who are older and who have been following Jesus a longer time, as much as baptism is a command, if we're talking with a younger Christian or if we're talking to a new Christian, we need to make sure that we approach this command with encouragement instead of with pressure. Amen. That's because pressure is all about intimidation. Get baptized or else. But encouragement is all about inspiration. Hey, the Bible says that baptism is a big next step of obeying Jesus. And I don't want to pressure you with that. I don't want to give you fear with that. But I would love to listen to you, to pray with you, and to process with you what that next step of baptism could look like. See, if any part of baptism is not your choice, if you were sprinkled as an infant without your consent, or if this was something that you didn't really understand, you might need to look at getting rebaptized. Because if any part of baptism is motivated by fear or guilt or pressure rather than your own choice, that's not of God. If you are looking at baptism just to make a family member happy, to make the church happy, or to score points with God and check off that box like it's some kind of impersonal transaction, you're not ready. But on the flip side, if you genuinely desire to take that next step with Jesus, if this is something that you want from your own will, your own self, from your own motivation, and from your own intentional relationship with God, then hey, I think you're ready. Let's look at the second heart check together. Do not get baptized for fun, for attention, or just because, but do get baptized out of costly obedience to follow Jesus. Going back to the driver's license analogy, if you have a careless attitude towards driving, and if you enjoy maybe streaming from your phone or goofing off and not paying attention, if you don't recognize the consequences that your driving could have on you, on your passengers, and on the others around you, you're probably not ready to have that license. And I would say there's a similar caution with baptism. If this is just for social media attention, or because all your friends are doing it and it's a good time of getting wet, if this does not carry some degree of seriousness for you, then you're not ready, because baptism is not a game. However, if you realize that following Jesus is not a cheap game but a costly commitment, and if you can approach this with the appropriate level of weight to where you're not scared of baptism but you're not being foolish with it either, then I think you are ready. Number three, do not get baptized if you are not 100% clear on where you're at in your relationship with Jesus. But do get baptized if you can biblically define the relationship that you have with Jesus. Every time a person gets baptized, whether it's here or another setting, the baptizer will always ask the person the same two questions. Number one, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? And number two, do you want to love Jesus and follow him with all your heart? If you cannot answer those questions with a 100% resounding yes, you're not ready. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Maybe there are some questions that you and God need to intentionally sort out first. Maybe there are some areas of relationship with Jesus that need to mature or solidify, kind of like cement that needs to harden and stabilize before you can build on it. However, if you can recognize the full significance of the relationship that Jesus wants with you, and if you are willing to embrace that relationship with all your heart, no matter the cost, whether it's going to a foreign country or going to somewhere else, if you can embrace that relationship wholeheartedly, you're ready. And that leads to the last heart check that we need to cover today. Do not get baptized if relationship with Jesus is optional or unimportant. But do get baptized if you want relationship with Jesus to be the central priority of your life. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, you're either all out or all in, no middle ground. If following Jesus is something that has zero impact on your day-to-day life, and if you find yourself asking, how close to the edge of sin can I get without going over? Or how much of Jesus can I cut back on without ending up in hell? If you're asking those questions, those are the wrong questions. And you're not ready to get baptized. But if you can respond to these words of Jesus from Matthew 16, and if you are willing to give up your agenda for his agenda, your priorities for his priorities, your comfort for his calling, if you can take that dive, hey, it's worth it, and you're ready. You know, maybe you've been hearing all these words about baptism, and it's forcing you to reevaluate your own relationship with Jesus. Maybe you don't have that relationship yet, and you're not sure what that's like. Or maybe you're saved, but you haven't been baptized, and you sense the Holy Spirit compelling you to take that next step. And it's not condemnation, but it is encouragement. Hey, take that next step. It's time. It's time. Or maybe you got baptized a long time ago, but just like the church in Ephesus, that first love has kind of tapered off. It's gone cold. And you wish that you could have that victory back again. You wish you could experience and rediscover that freshness and vitality with Jesus that you used to have, but that you haven't enjoyed in a long time. Hey, if that's you, if you fit into any of what I just described, don't put it off. Today is the day. Today is the day to get right with God, respond to his voice, and to get real with him. So we're going to close with that song that we sang earlier, Jesus Be the Name. And if you need to get real with God at this altar, either for the first time or for the first time in a long time, don't put it off. Listen, Olive Garden is not going to leave. It'll still be there. Your bed is not going to leave. It'll still be there. Don't worry about the people around you. Don't worry about your lunch plans or after church plans. Right now, this is about you and Jesus having a moment to get real with one another. Jesus is offering you his victory. Will you take time to receive that victory today?